I would like to read, please, in the book of Job, chapter 1. Job, chapter 1, and verse 18. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, and smote the four corners of the house, and fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. First Epistle to the Corinthians, in chapter 15. First Corinthians chapter 15, and verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Gospel by Luke, in chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 and verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. A final reading in the book of the Acts, chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 and verse 27. And the keeper of the prison awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, and sprang in and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. That's all we'll read. We trust the Lord will bless the word that we have heard with these verses that we have read together. I would like tonight, by the help of God, to speak on some sudden things. We have read from the book of Job, chapter 1, of sudden death. We have read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 of a sudden call. And from the Gospel by Luke chapter 16, we have read of a sudden awakening. And then in Acts chapter 16, we have read of a sudden salvation or a sudden conversion. We believe that salvation is not a process of steps. It is instantaneous. Whenever a person repents of their sin, acknowledges their sin before God, and trusts Christ as their personal Savior, that's God's great salvation in a nutshell. And we trust that if you are not saved in this meeting tonight, that ere you leave this building, you may know sudden salvation, sudden conversion. The jailer began the night careless and indifferent. And before sunrise the next morning, he was heaven-born and heaven-bound. No greater blessing could ever come to a soul than God's great salvation. We trust it will be your portion, as it has been ours in times past, when God in mercy plucked us as brands from the everlasting burning. Now the book of Job is perhaps the oldest book in the Bible. Here we have a man that feared God and that shunned evil. But there came a day in his life. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And oftentimes when they got together, Job offered a sacrifice. He says, "Lest my children sin in their hearts." He was a holy man of God, but he had a family that were wayward. Then we read of a man who came to Job one day, and he said, "Your sons and daughters, they were drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and there came a wind and blew down that house, and they're all dead." Oh, what a message. What a sudden jolt, no doubt, poor Job got. "Here's all my family, and they're wiped out all at one time, after drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and gone down to hell." We have read in nights that are past, from Proverbs chapter 21, 29 and verse 1, "He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." These boys and girls had opportunities of salvation. They had a father that was interested in their soul's eternal welfare. Yet there was 7 boys and 3 girls, and they landed in hell, even with a godly father. Many a soul hides behind because my parents are saved, or because I'm related to a Christian. Then God is obligated to save me. My friend, God is not obligated to save any one of us. But God in His mercy, He has sent the gospel your way that you might be saved. Now these 7 boys and these 3 girls, they experienced sudden death. You and I have lived long enough to know that sudden death crosses the path of many. Only a couple of weeks ago in the Nymo Road across here, there were 2 precious souls ushered out into the great eternity. Sudden death to others. Let me ask you kindly tonight, if sudden death crossed your pathway, where would your soul be? I remember when we lived in Richmond, there was a man of 40 years of age. The saying goes, when you reach 40, better have a checkup all over. This man went to the doctor. He says, "Doctor, I'm 40. I want a complete checkup." So the doctor examined him. After he had finished, he said to him, "You're good for another 40. The fellow got ready to leave. He walked over to the handle of the door. Before he went, he shook hands with the doctor. He says, "Thanks a million." He went and took hold of the handle of the door to turn it. And right there in the doctor's office, he dropped dead. Sudden death? Could it cross your path? Could it cross your path tonight? Could it cross my path? It could. Where would my soul be? I know where my soul would be. Where would your soul be? Here's seven boys and three girls, and they were greatly privileged with a godly father, yet they perished in their sins. Oh, how tragic, and how oftentimes we have seen this. King David was a man after God's own heart. He had a boy called Absalom, and when Absalom was slain, whenever the news reached the ears of King David, he went up over the gate and wept. As he went, thus he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. Oh, Absalom, my son, why did he weep so much? Why was he heartbroken? My friend, because his boy was down in hell, and he knew it. Oh, dear soul, tonight without Christ, there could be no greater tragedy ever happen to you than should sudden death cross your path and your soul enter the great eternity without a Savior, and for you to sink down into everlasting burnings, never to come out again. This is the time, oh, then be wise. Thou wouldst be saved. Why not tonight? You may lay your head on the pillow tonight. You may awaken in hell before morning. We do not know what a day may bring forth. Here's seven boys and three girls brought up in a Christian home. Yet, my friend, they perished in their sins. What a tragedy. Sudden death for a believer is sudden glory. Sudden death for an unbeliever is sudden gloom. Would it be sudden glory for you, or would it be sudden gloom? Friends, search your soul. These things are for eternity. A preacher giving out tracts one day handed one to a man. He says, "I'm an atheist." Well, the preacher said, "That doesn't matter. You can read the tract." "No," he says, "I won't read the tract." He says, "You don't believe what I believe." The preacher says, "Well, what do you believe?" He says, "I believe that death ends all." The preacher says, "So do I." "Oh," he says, "you do? I never knew you preachers believe that death ended all." "Oh, yes," he said. He says, "I believe that death for you would end all the joy and all the happiness that you will ever have." Oh, dear soul, let that sink in to you tonight. Death for you on stage in this meeting would end all happiness. All your plans would be wrecked. Everything would have to be set aside. What a tragedy. It would end all hope of you getting God's salvation. Is not searching? Does that not solemnize your soul? Death would end all. Death for the believer. It would end all pain. Death for the Christian would end all sorrow. There's no pain. There's no sorrow. There's no aches or pains. All trials and troubles will be over. Should sudden death cross our pathway. Sudden death may cross our pathway. We don't know. It has crossed multitudes that we have known. The young and the old. It is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. And you know, whenever a person realizes the brevity of life and the uncertainty of life, whenever it comes home to one's soul, then they put things first that should be first. They give the salvation of their soul's priority. Is that in your mind tonight? Must you get this great matter settled? You see, you are risking losing your soul for eternity. Every step that you take, every time that you turn Christ down in a gospel meeting, you are risking your soul's salvation. A boy going through past a preacher one night at the door of a gospel meeting. The preacher says, "Young man, have you any serious thoughts about your soul?" "Well," he said, "sometimes." "Well," the preacher said, "you should give it serious thought where you'll be in eternity. For you never know whenever you may be cut down." The young fellow with a snap of the finger said, "Well, I'll risk it. I fear their souls in this meeting. And my friend, you are risking salvation, risking your soul's eternal welfare. The meeting closed, everybody went out. The preacher walking home went in one block, turned around the corner. There's a number of people gathered. As he went over, he looked there. There's a young man that he's spoken to at the door. There's his remains after being involved in an accident and in eternity. He says, I'll risk it. Girl, tonight, are you risking the salvation of your soul? Young man, are you taking a risk? Oh, I tell you, it's a great risk. Risking losing your soul for the great eternity. Sudden death came to 7 boys and 3 girls not ready for heaven. Oh, what a tragedy. A few years ago in Newfoundland, Brother Joyce took the funeral, but I happened to drop in where a dear man, his 2 girls, had been killed in an accident. They had been my husband, 2 girls and the mother, driving down the highway, some slush in the road, going to turn the corner, the truck went on, hit another truck head on. Those 2 girls in the center, ushered out into eternity. I remember that dear father at the grave. He hadn't seen me before. And as he was leaving the grave, he says, Mr. Bingham, he says, two of my girls are gone. Thank God they were saved. But think of dear Joe tonight. I would say 7 of my boys, 3 of my girls, they're all gone to hell. Oh, what a tragedy. What a remorse for the dear man. What heavy tidings came to his ears. Sudden death. It may cross your path tonight. It may cross my path. How is it with your soul? We read of a sudden call. We believe that the coming of the Lord is going to take place suddenly. We have read in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that is in a half a wink. Unsaved friend, unsaved girl tonight who has saved parents, you won't have time to say goodbye. It's all going to happen so quickly and so suddenly. If that shout were given, those who are saved in this meeting, they would hear it. Those who are not saved, you wouldn't know it happened. But it's going to happen. Matthew 25, behold, the bridegroom cometh. That was the cry that went forth at midnight. It's 9 o'clock almost. At midnight, behold, the bridegroom cometh. What of that trumpet sound? What of the Lord himself? He will descend and call away every born-again soul. Those who have died, who were saved, those of us who are living, the dead raised and changed, we the living changed. All in a moment, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Oh, what a meeting. What a gathering that is going to be. A sudden call. We may hear it tonight. Many Christians tonight, they're living in the expectation. Every Christian should be living in the expectation of his coming. And when that shout is given, we're going. Thank God. Those that are saved, will you go? Would your seat be occupied if the Lord came at this minute? Oh, it'll test our salvation. It'll test you. It'll test me. If the Lord came right now and we were called away, if we got a look back into this hall, how many boys would be sitting? How many girls would be left behind on this side? How many girls on this side left behind, still sitting in your seat, without a Savior? Oh, what a tragedy. You see, when heaven's door shuts, as far as you are concerned, you'll never get in. You're too late. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, a sudden call. We read of a sudden awakening. I don't believe there's one in this meeting. And I don't know everybody, but I don't believe there's one that desires to be in hell. Everybody wants to be in heaven. It's not your mind that you're going to awaken in hell. It wasn't this man's mind that he would awaken in hell. He got a jolt when he got there. It says that he died, that he was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. My friend, what a lifting up of eyes. What a jolt the dear man would get there to find himself. He never thought that he would ever be in hell. Do you think that you'll ever be in hell? Somehow, some way, you think that you're going to miss it. Oh, dear soul, tonight, stop a minute. The vast majority that are in hell tonight, they never intended to be there. They never thought they would be there. They thought for sure they would miss it. And so do you. And yet there's a warning from God. So many who thought that they would never end up in the everlasting burnings. That's where they are tonight. You could end up down in hell forever. I remember having meetings in Port Pickerton. That's about 2.5 hours drive from where I live. I was coming home one night and I just switched on the radio. And Barbara Fromm of the CBC was talking to Muhammad Ali on the radio. She had been talking to him that day. Muhammad Ali was in the city of Los Angeles. There was a young man from Texas, colored boy, had gone from Texas to California to get work. He had spent all his money and he couldn't get a job. He was standing on the 32nd floor of an apartment building. He was out on the ledge, threatening to jump down onto the street. The police tried to talk to him. He says, "The only person I want to talk to is Muhammad Ali." They put it over the radio in Los Angeles that if Muhammad Ali was listening, would he go to this address, to the 32nd floor? There's a young man, and he's contemplating suicide. If he could get there before the boy jumps, it'd be a blessing. Muhammad Ali happened to be 2 blocks away when he heard the word. He went round to the address, went up in the elevator to the 32nd floor. And there he went into that room. He spoke to the young man on the ledge. The young man looked around and saw him, and he was surprised. The first thing Muhammad Ali said to him, he says, "If you jump, you'll jump into hell." Barbara Fromm said, "And when you said that, what did he do?" He said he tried to take hold of the stone or the concrete, wherever it was. He tried to get a better grip upon it. If he had jumped, he would have jumped into hell. Barbara Fromm said, "Muhammad, do you believe that?" He says, "I believe that if that young man had jumped and committed suicide, he would have jumped into hell." Friend, let me remind you kindly tonight. If the brittle thread of your life were snapped in this meeting, on that seat, you would drop into hell. You would lift up your eyes in torment, and you'd be there forever. There's no salvation in hell. Here's a man crying for mercy. "Father Abraham, have mercy on me." Oh, he's in earnest. Had he been as earnest in his life, he may have gotten God's salvation. But he's in earnest too late. You could be in earnest too late, sinner. You could cry, "Oh God, have mercy on me." But whenever he came back and didn't do it, he was all right. That was his belief. Muhammad Ali gave him some money. And he promised that he got him a job down in the city of Los Angeles. But my friend tonight, sudden gloom for those not saved. The rich man in hell lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Lazarus, he died. We don't read he had a burial, but he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Death for Lazarus was glory. What does death mean to you tonight? Would it be the glory or the gloom? Whichever place it is, is for eternity, is forever. We read of a sudden conversion. Here's a dear man began the night, unshaved, careless, on his road to hell, and before morning, he was rejoicing in the knowledge of sins forgiven. How can a sinner get God's salvation? Our brother reminded us tonight of our sins being laid on the Savior. We sang last night, and Lord willing, we'll sing it tonight, a chorus which says, "My sins were laid on Jesus." Now my sins cannot be on Jesus and on me at the same time. When God laid my sins upon His Son, He didn't lay half of them on His Son and leave half with me. I know. All my sins were laid on Jesus. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them on Him. And believing or taking His word for it, I go free. Is there a soul here tonight longing for salvation, crying and asking the question that this man asked? What must I do to be saved? My friend, God's salvation, there's no greater simplicity under the canopy of God's heaven. They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Believe the record that God has given in His word, that He sent His Son not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. To accept the grand truth that Christ upon the cross at Calvary, He died for our sins, but make it personal. He died for my sins that I might go free. Do I hear a soul say, "Well, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but I'm not saved"? Is that believing God? Is that taking God at His word? Saying that I believe, but I'm not? John chapter 3, verse 36. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." I know there's many, and they say, "Well, I believe, but I don't have." They're in between. There's no in between in John 3:36. You either are a believer and you've got it, or you are a non-believer and you don't have it. What is salvation? Taking God at His word. A little girl came into her father's store. He was down in the cellar. He had the trap door let off to the one side. He heard her little feet coming along the floor, and she came to the hole and looked in. Down there it was dark. The father said to her, he says, "Mary?" She said, "Yes, Daddy." He says, "Mary, you jump." "Oh, no, Daddy, I can't see you." But he said, "Just you jump." That little girl, in her simplicity, she jumped. Did she get hurt? No. Her father caught her. God wants you to jump. He wants you to take Him on His word. That little girl, in her simplicity, she just stepped into that dark hole. And there she depended. And it all depended on her father for her safety. If you trust Christ, it will all depend on God, not on you. Salvation, you won't find it inside. You say, "Well, I believe, but I don't have." You're looking in. You'll never get salvation there. Where will you get it? My friend, in the Word of God. God says it, I believe it. And that settles it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Repentance is owning up to your sin and a willingness to forsake your sin. That's repentance. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you repent of your sin, God will remove the burden of your sin. That's salvation. Repentance is owning up. I'm a guilty sinner. I'm hell deserving. That's where I should be forever. But, oh God, is there mercy? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Take him at his word tonight. Depend on the word of God. Rely on God's unchanging word. Trust Christ and start for heaven. May you do it now. Sudden death may cross your path tonight. It may cross mine. Will we meet on that golden street in yonder glory? May the Lord help you to get to Christ before it's too late. Shall we?